Blog Talk Radio. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we're discussing the chapters of life and taking calls for on-air readings. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. And we've got some callers in the queue already. Also, want to invite our callers and listeners to join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. And
600.
Oh, go ahead. You announce it.
Well, no, you say it.
Okay. It's our 600th show.
Yeah,
actually.
600.
I don't know if that, we may have deleted and re-recorded, so I don't know if that is going to match in the podcast, but it actually is our 600th.
600 hours
show.
On the air. Yes.
Yes. So
I was doing shows a lot longer than that, but together we've been doing, this is our 600 shows together.
Yes.
I must have over 1,000.
I was doing shows too, but not this kind.
Yeah. Over 1,000 hours on the radio. But anyways, that's good news. The 600
hours
together
on the radio.
The Neil and Kristen Baker show.
Neil and Kristen Baker show.
And okay,
yeah, so it's good. So
yeah.
Some fanfare for our celebratory event here.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take some callers. We've got everybody in the queue is getting reading. Please do hold your place in line, callers, because we will get to you. If you're not first, you're either next or after that. So just hold your place in line. We'll be with you shortly. 941 is our first caller.
Hi, my name is Carla.
I'm sorry, your name again, because we cut out for some reason.
I'm sorry, Carla. I had you on speakerphone. I quick took you off.
Oh, that's better probably if you're off. Carla with a C or a K?
A C.
A C. Okay. So, Carla, where are you calling from?
Florida.
Florida. Okay. And what's going on? What's your question?
I'm currently renting space at a place for my business. And it's the person I'm renting from, her attitude is really, I don't know how to say it, but I don't know if she hates me at sometimes or likes me. And I keep to myself, and I've been really nice in sending her light, but I've been told, and I know this is only temporary, there's a 6-month clause in the year contract where I can get out, and I know that I'm going to be needing to look for a place. And I've been told that before, but now I overheard her talk to some of her patients. She's a doctor. I think she may be looking for to get rid of that place I'm renting, the whole place, the whole building.
Oh, the whole building.
And so I don't know if it's that or is she trying to replace me. I don't think anything can get this woman happy. And and so I'm just wondering what you see. Should I start looking now? I know I'm not going to break the contract because then I'm going to have to owe more money. But I'm going to wait. I only have probably less than 4 months left. I have 3 months to find a place and then to get my health care license in the state to inspect another facility.
Okay.
So I was wondering what you see that I need to do or what is happening.
So you wrote. So you said 3 months you have for a license issue?
No, well, 3 months, if I leave within that first 6 months, which I don't think I would even stay, just how she treats me, it's so badly. And so I have 3 months that I do need to find a place, so because it will take a month for me to get an establishment license.
And okay, so, I wrote down 3 months, Carla, but I didn't say it. But Neil, you can see that you wrote it down, 3 months. So that ties in that with what you're relaying to us. But before we get more deeply into the reading and give you an answer, can we get your birthday, Carla?
2865.
2865. You don't happen to have her birth date, I wouldn't imagine.
Yes.
You do.
It is. All I can remember, I think it might be February 3rd, but I know it's February 1973.
February 1973. Well, we know she's got an 11 on the in the year.
And I think it's up. Third.
So that can be, I'm sorry?
I think it's the 3rd of February.
You think it's the 3rd, but she has an 11. When you add up her year, 1973 together, it becomes an 11 and then 2. So she would be, if it's the 3rd, her master number, 515257.
279.
Wait, what did I do wrong? 2-3?
She said 4-3, didn't she?
No, 2-3.
No,
2-3?
February. February 3rd, 1923.
Yeah, and Carla, you two are an 11 together. Carla's a 31-4. Is that what you got, Neil?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you two are an 11 together, which can be problematic. Problematic sometimes. But go ahead, Neil.
Yeah. And what is the nature of your business that you have establishment in?
Massage, as under my health care, and I also do healing work and some reading and teaching.
Well, you know, if there's a lot of tension in your connection with your landlord, your person who owns the building, that's not going to be good for the energy flow of what you're doing. I mean, you can't always control your environment so it's sterile. But and if you're really good at what you do, you can ward off whatever dark energies there are. Your question is, though, is the way she treats you, do you have interactions with her all the time? Or why is she difficult with you?
I think she was that way with everybody because after I signed the contract, everything changed. And everything she promised didn't come out. And she said that there were so many other therapists that worked for her that rented space there in the past 12 years. I'm thinking, that's a lot. You know, if you gave me three, I would think three people, that would be a lot. What happened to them? But a lot of people were coming and going, you know.
Well, you know, I mean, do you have a clientele that's dependent on the geography of where you're located?
No. I was taking a risk by going into the location I was at because it's kind of like out of the way. It's not like on a main street. So I was like taking, and it's kind of south of a county that I was wanting more middle of the county.
Okay. Well, you know, logic says if you're not happy, why stay? If you're not happy, live out your, you know, do your contract so you don't damage that essence there. And then go to, find another place. I would start looking. But, you know, you've got 3 months left to fulfill your contract. If she's going to sell the place and somebody else comes in, I mean, that could eliminate your problem. But for you to start looking now is going to be a little bit premature because you're going to have to say to somebody, well, I can't, I have a lease until for three more months.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to somehow withstand this energy. I mean, if she's difficult, she's probably a difficult person anyways. Maybe she doesn't want this. It's just a burden to her. And you're hearing somewhere through the grapevine that she might get rid of it. So even if you stayed, that might, you know, as you get closer to the end of the lease, you're going to be able to see a lot more. Let me ask you something. Are you, a side question, do you have a green thumb? Do you like to garden? Do you do anything with plants? Okay, so that energy just came in, maybe as a flow of trying to figure you out and validate my sense of psychically approaching you. And if that's the truth, that you have a green tummy, you like plants and things like that, our suggestion is that you stay. If your lease is up, when is it up, in August?
I have a six-month contingency on a year lease, and that would be up October 1st would be the end of 6 months.
So you would have an additional 6 months?
September, give her a month's notice on the lease.
So you have an additional, Carla, you have an additional 6 months beyond October, correct?
Yes, and I don't have to. It says that if we do, if the accommodations do not seek both of us, if we don't get along in that or whatever, that it can be broken at that time.
So, yeah, and she had said 4 months, but it was 3 months that was pertaining to a difference,
yeah,
right?
3 months, so I would have to put at the three-month part, find have another place in mind, get my license because it takes a month, and be able to, you know, be flow into another place.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have some room there,
yeah.
To, you know, you have some room there, Carla, and I don't think you should do anything at the moment, you know, because you can't. You're bound by the lease.
But you would have to decide by September, correct? To whether give her a month. So you have until September to make a decision.
Stay put right now. There's an 8-year difference between you and this woman.
Uh-huh.
And 8 is in your day. There's a karmic thing going on. May I ask, is your mother alive or deceased?
Alive.
Do you have any particular problems with her? How's your energy flow with your own mother?
She has dementia right now, and I do care about her greatly. I wish she would go into, you know, my dad. I wish my dad would put her in a home, but he won't. So.
Okay. So the dementia, to what stage is it?
I'm not really sure, but I mean, she shouldn't be on her own, and so did the doctor say that, too.
That what?
I don't know.
She can't be on her own?
Pardon me?
She needs assistance?
Yeah, she does, but my dad will not get it because he doesn't want to pay for it because his pension is so much that it would come out of their pocket.
I just wanted to know, you see, you have a good rapport with your mother, but the problematic essence with you and your mother is this interference of dementia. And your landlord, who is 8 years younger than you, but there's a past life thing going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we get into tribal zones and we have to start to understand who we're dealing with, whether it's a landlord or a husband or a wife or somebody in your business, somebody in your neighborhood, the process of looking at it tribally, the process of looking at past life energies is significant, at least in our field of vision. And you have a past life connection with this woman, which is probably already problematic. Do you yourself have a dog or a cat?
I have cats, and she has both, I think.
Yeah, I got it. So I'm quickly, because we have other callers. These are 5-minute readings. We're looking
like,
at this service.
This is more like 10 or 15.
Yeah,
but
we're looking at. Okay. We're getting to the other callers. Don't worry. We're looking at the service and the survey of this, Carla. And from our standpoint, stay where you're at. The where you're going to go is going to be somewhat determined by this woman's actions. But as we get closer to the end of the lease, you may want to start to then explore other locations. But you're in a karmic situation with this lease. And so you're working something out that you don't want to take with you by premature action. So you want to get this done. I have a feeling she's going to wait off. She's done with this. She doesn't want it. So
yeah,
let's
I think
keep our...
Yeah, I thought she was going to be, because she's the type that would not even give me notice and just up and pack and leave.
Can she do that with the lease, the way it stands?
I think because she keeps on telling everybody that I'm so nice, because I've been so nice and I've been keeping to myself, that I think she thinks I'm so timid that she could get away with it, that I would not go to court. But I would definitely go to court.
Yeah, because you're
protected by the police. Thousands of dollars invested.
In my advertising
and everything.
Boy, sure. And, you know, sometimes mean people, they're really mean, but that's their manner. And if you kind of, and you're saying you're kind of sweet around her and soft.
Uh-huh.
So she probably likes you because you don't put anything in her face. And they're bullies
for sure.
But
she is a bully,
Yeah. So stay put right now is our suggestion since you're calling the show. But we've given you some feedback, too, as well.
Okay,
and
thank
Carla,
you so much.
You're welcome. Hopefully it helps. And you can follow us on Facebook and here on Blog Talk Radio. We'd love it if you did.
Okay. Thank
Keep
you.
In touch with us and let us know how things progress.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. 617 has not pressed 1. So 617, if you'd like to speak with us, area code 617, please press 1. Okay. I'm not pressing 1. And 307 is next. Hi.
Hi. How are you guys?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
What's your
my
name?
My name is Alyssa. Alyssa.
Okay.
And I'm a first-time caller, and I was just – you want my birth date, too?
Is it 9-17-79?
Oh, yeah.
So you're not – you're not a first-time caller.
I
was going to say, oh, that was I just got that psychically. No, no. We've spoken with you a couple times, Alyssa. You're from Wyoming.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't remember ever speaking with you guys.
You've spoken with us twice in the past month. That's okay.
Did you guys change your logo or something on your on Blog Talk Radio?
No, I mean, we have a little slideshow, so you may have seen a different picture, but the logo is the same. And I remember you're from Wyoming. There was a cleaning business.
Oh, yeah.
So we talked to you.
Yeah.
But
okay, I was just wondering, I was thinking about moving to Casper, and a place kind of, it's about 3.5 hours away from where I'm living now with my daughter and my grandbaby, and I was just wondering if that would be a good move.
Your daughter and your grandbaby, did you say?
Yes.
Gosh, you're so young to be a grandmother, my goodness.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, you're not even 40. well, I think we talked about this and said a move was actually a good idea. If I'm remembering correctly, because there was something about doing a cleaning business and your own spiritual practice.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, I don't want to rehash what we've already talked about in terms of giving you the same, you know, exact same reading,
okay.
But I think that's where
well,
we
you
were.
Well, you see, Beth, your problem, Alyssa, is the indecision. You're not, if you're still, from our original conversation, if you're still seeking advice from psychics and or people that seem to see the future or feel it out, if you're still in question, there's a bigger issue going on. And that's a certain amount of fear and trepidation about security levels. So there's something, I don't know. I mean, you may be logically trying to figure out what would be the best thing for you, and you're seeking some kind of vision to see what's going to be the best thing. But I get I also get a feeling, and this is more psychological, I get a feeling that maybe some of this indecisive quality in you, if I may probe a little bit, might come from mother. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe mother was a little bit nervous, timid, not sure of
She's
things.
Crazy.
Maybe you collected some of that stuff in your head. Is that true or not? I don't know.
Yeah, my mother's crazy.
Crazy,
did
crazy?
You say?
Yeah.
She's that shit crazy.
Okay. So your mother's crazy. So Alyssa, what I'm getting is that some of the fear or concerns you have about this move is getting mangled by your upbringing and what you've taken from your mother. That's not maybe the best part of you, but it is part of you, and it causes conflict.
Yeah.
What we're saying is it's probably going to be better to move and to be bold on that courageous step. But
just
if you're reluctant, and maybe we're wrong, but if you're reluctant because you're examining yourself and sensing, gee, I don't know, I'm a little fearful, that ignore. If there's other reasons for you not to move, you know, you got a broken leg and you're in traction, then that's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
But if it's an emotional fear you have about the unknown,
I'm just scared.
You're calling you're calling our show. We're saying to move.
Okay.
And I think, Alyssa, I mean, I understand being indecisive and seeking multiple opinions because you're wanting to find, you know, find something that resonates with you or maybe tips the scale in terms of making your decision. But calling a lot of different shows can be very confusing. It's like you might as well do a series of coin flips and base it on that. I mean, you're going to get a different opinion from everyone you talk to. However authentic, you know, one psychic might be and inauthentic another. So
you're examining it, and you have every right to examine something and make a decision. Maybe you're supposed to stay. But if you become so indecisive, you know, what's your problem? What are you fearful of about moving?
I'm afraid of getting up there and then, like, getting in a fight with my daughter or not getting along with her and her, you know, like, I won't have no place to go there. Or I just worry about just everything.
And your daughter lives with you with the grandchild.
I couldn't hear the plane.
She's saying that, I'm sorry, there was a plane flying overhead and Neil couldn't hear. She's saying that she's worried about conflict with the daughter that lives with her. She has a daughter and the daughter has a baby. I don't know. Is it a boy or a girl? Girl?
It's a little girl.
Yeah. Why is there a conflict if she moves or she doesn't?
Because they all live together.
Yeah.
But you're obviously, there's obviously maybe some, is the relationship rocky with your daughter? Do you have conflict where you're at now?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
So why wouldn't you want to move?
I don't know.
What do you mean? She's been moving with her.
Yeah. Oh, so is that going to make more conflict?
You think it's going to make more conflict to move? I mean,
No, I'm not living with my daughter right now. She lives 3 hours away from me.
Oh, so you're planning on moving together. I see. Okay.
You're going to move. If you move, you're moving with your daughter, and you're worried about
I just assumed they were all together.
Until I get on my feet, yeah. And she has her own place.
Do you have financial resources to help? I mean, are you going to be able to afford where you're living, moving?
I will be able to afford to pay half of her rent and, you know, help with bills and the groceries and stuff like that. Yeah.
The daughter will help.
The daughter will help.
Oh.
What's your daughter's birthday?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Neil. Sorry.
Her birthday is October 11th, 1999. Sorry.
That's okay. Is that do you have any other kids or is she it? Three?
No, I have other kids.
31. So real quick, because the readings are kind of short, what's your fear about staying? What are you concerned
They're
about
the
if you
same.
Stay?
Is she 7 and 4? Same as our previous caller.
No.
7 and 4.
Yeah,
just like our last caller.
What's your concern about staying there, Elisa?
I'm just afraid that we're not going to get along, and then I'll get up there and I'll have moved all my stuff there.
What are you concerned? If you stay where you're at, do you have any concerns about staying where you're at?
Yeah, it's just not good for me here. My business, I'm not getting no business, no work.
Oh, listen, Elisa. Yeah, move. Don't worry. Don't worry. You know, you'll cross that bridge when you come to it. You have conflict. Don't worry. Right now, you're not making it where you're at. You're a little bit indecisive. I hear this conflict. There may be. Maybe you'll have to move out and get your own place over there. But we're getting the vibe that you should be moving. And then work it out. You know, that's what we're getting.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
You bet.
Thanks, Alyssa. Okay. 812 is our next caller. Hi there.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Nicole, and my birthday is July 23rd, 1984, and I'm from Indiana.
Can't hear you, Nicole. You're talking a little quickly.
On the phone. That's better.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yeah, that's
What's
better.
What's your
birthday?
7/23/84. July 23rd,
1984. Okay. Nicole.
Yes.
You're on. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. My nephew just passed away, and I was wondering, does he have any messages for me?
Okay. Nephew passed away. How old was he?
Mother or nephew?
Nephew or mother? Nephew.
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 Oh. He's 26.
I can't hear today.
Today is not a good hearing day for you. Okay. Do you want a birth date? Should we get
birth date? I'm sorry, what?
What's the birthday? Do you have the birthday?
Yes, it was November 15th,
1991.
Was it? November 15th, 91, 5, 6, 7, 8, 18, 28, 10, 1. And did he pass recently?
Yes.
Was this by his own hand? Did he promote, did he do anything to cause his death?
Yeah, somebody told him about drugs, like bad batch of drugs.
Yeah.
And he died before 28.
Yeah.
27, he would have been 27 this year, so he was 26 2 years before the age of 28.
Well, you know, Nicole.
So sorry, Nicole.
The vibration, I mean, aside from maybe logic or good guessing, but the vibration was that he was somewhat, he crossed over somewhat due to his own hands, you know, the drugs and all that. And so there's a little bit of troubled essence in there. Not, you know, it's not like horrific. His soul left the earth before he should have had a whole life. So his soul is still working out the journey of what his life was supposed to be. He can't just leave. He's still bound to the earth, and he's in the astral realm. He's talking about a bell, like a ringing of a bell. So first of all, ringing of a bell. Are there any musical instruments surrounding his story or your story?
There is a video that just came out. I saw yesterday. He was singing to his 8-month-old daughter.
I can't hear
a video of him that came out singing to his 8-month-old daughter.
Singing to his 8-month-old daughter. So what he's sending is that image to me. He's sending it, and I'm receiving it and assembling the energy of it as a musical thing. So he's, first of all, alluding to his daughter. Now, is there anybody in the family named Lynn, Lindsay, Linda, any L?
Oh, my God. His daughter's name is Meadow Lynn.
Lynn?
Yeah.
So he's talking on the other side. He's aware we're doing a radio show, so he should be following us.
Yeah,
you know,
tell him to
follow us. But he better follow us. We're following him. So he just gave me that message, and then he gave me the name Lynn. He says that it's confusing. He says he's very happy for everybody on the earth. So first of all, he's saying, I'm happy, my family, I'm happy. It's kind of scrambled. But what he wants to, what he's probably saying is, I bless my family. Don't let my family be sad. I'll work this out, that kind of thing. So he's working something out. He's probably in a position where he's talking to angels and guides and saying, oh, my God, what did I do? I screwed up so bad. How, you know, let's start fixing this. That's what he's probably doing on the other side. He says he loves you very much. And he says the name Carol. Carol. Who's Carol?
Carol, I don't know. I don't know anybody named that name.
I don't know.
You can
know
research
either.
It. You
he
can research
it. You
got to
look it up.
Back, Nicole.
You got to look it up. You got to look it up.
But
have you gotten a new?
Have
you gotten a new car or anything going on with your car lately?
I don't have a car, but I just got a new home.
Okay, well, I heard the new car. I thought it said new car, but he said new. And so you have a new home. So he's probably hanging out a little bit. You know, he's aware of the show. He says the daughter's his daughter's name. He's working something out. He loves you. He wants everybody to be happy. You know, that's probably a less burden on him if people. You know, if because he left karma on the earth, so that's kind of strange. He's talking about a painting in. Have you putting up a picture, a painting? Is there a painting in your room, a portrait?
I was looking on YouTube on this certain painting. I've been thinking about, you know, buying paintings and stuff like that, and doing more decorating on my home.
That's it. There we go. So He's insinuating, he's trying to suggest that he's here and that he sees things. And he's sending me scrambled messages. He's probably aware that we don't have much time. So see, because he's a soul right now, a soul spirit. It's not in the body, but so he's aware of what we're doing. He sees it.
Right.
And he's trying his best. You know, he realizes we're kind of pinched for time, but he's coming through.
Well, I think what's positive is that you're saying, sorry, my voice, that he's trying to work out. A lot of times you'll encounter souls on the astral realm that have committed suicide, and it's really a dark read. And it sounds like he's realizing what he did, and he's trying to make amends for it. So that's good sign.
That's good. He loves you. See, because he says the new home, he's like new car, new home, and the paintings, he's trying to connect to you. So it's very gratifying for a soul spirit to make a connection, because it seems like, you know, they're on the other side of the glass wall and they're tapping, and you look over and you see them, and they're relieved that at least you can see them. So he's very relieved about that. He's talking about a swimming pool. I don't know. He keeps sending
swimming pool.
Message.
Anything about a swimming pool?
There's a swimming pool, a community swimming pool up the street from my house.
Oh.
Okay. So he said, you know, he's probably sending me all this stuff, and it's gradually hitting my consciousness. And okay, so we're on a line of a connection, and you've made a connection. You called the show, Nicole. You got a connection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he says the name Steve or Steven.
Okay, I know that is. That's my cousin.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know,
strong connection, I would say.
You know what he's doing is he's throwing everything he can at me, hoping I pick up stuff. And so, you know, and then we just randomly picking up stuff. But he's here. You know, we're psychics.
Okay.
He's here. And there's a communication going on. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know. Maybe you can call back on the show, or I don't know. We'll make a connection then. You can do a private reading. I don't know. You can always try. Mm-hmm. But you got one today.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Nicole. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. All right.
And Nicole can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter here on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, 617 is still hanging out. Does 617 want a reading, or are they just listening? 617. Okay. Well, looks like we're going to have a little chat now, Neil.
Oh, okay.
So we're talking about chapters of life. Chapters of life, which can be not always linear, right?
Not always linear. And you know, but we are in a chapter. The soul is the novel, and the one lifetime is the chapter. So every lifetime we have, every time the soul goes into a new space, i.e. this one lifetime, it's a chapter. It's a chapter
right.
in the book.
And of course, there's chapters within the lifetime too.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And you know, sometimes the chapters they're not the same. You know, when you read a novel, the chapters are different. So the lifetimes are different. Each chapter can be complete. That's why they're called chapters.
So meaning it's not a linear progression in terms of the successive lifetimes. You think maybe after a certain lifetime and things are accomplished in that lifetime, then there'd be a progression towards something else, but that's not always the way it works. Sometimes a soul has to deal with karma from other lifetimes that aren't dealt with in the previous.
So it's not always a novel.
A build up, you know, towards the ultimate transcendent state.
Right. Because, a novel can have flashbacks. A novel can digress.
I'm having a flashback.
A novel can digress and go on different topics. And a novel in one chapter can suddenly jump to another country. And
I know some novels that do that.
So, you know, in that metaphor, there is a clear comparison between what a novel or even a nonfiction book can do, wherein there are chapters, and a lifetime. So every lifetime that we have is also a collective lifetime. So every lifetime collects energies from other lifetimes. Just like every year we get older, we collect the experiences, memories, incidences of our previous years. And that becomes a composite picture of who we are. And then, not to mention, there's lineage, genealogy, there's all kinds of things that go on, different homes you've lived in, different accidents you've been in, different relationships. All of that becomes part of the novel of a single person's life. Well, now imagine that a lifetime is a composite of other lifetimes. We're going to go there for a minute. And consider the fact that the soul just didn't start here. I mean, the soul goes all the way back to the first human being. And so
we all have the seed of...
We all have that energy.
Adam and Eve, whether you call them
Adam and Eve or you know, Burns and Allen. I don't care what you call them. Somewhere we started. And maybe we even started, you know, and in our process of creation, we were like a salamander. We look like a dog, a pig.
In terms of the gestation process.
So what's going on? What's going on is that we're in chapters. We're in chapters, and we keep developing. Even, I mean, take a look at a picture of you as a 5-year-old, and that picture of you of who you are today, and look at the two people and say, are they the same? No. And if somebody from another planet who didn't know about aging or anything, they just were born and they are what they are, they would look and say, those are two different people. They're not. They're the same person, but they've grown in chapters. Now, the soul has chapters in it. And those chapters are part of what brought us back, what we have to work out and work through. So we can finally transcend, get off the planet, and then with that in mind, not only what we have to do, but what we want to do, what we feel is transcendent in our quality of life. Most of us, our lives are composed of what we have to do.
Right, which kind of takes us away from the main focus of what we're on the planet for, which is, you know, getting off the planet. But you know what's weird, Neil, is that when you're in a specific lifetime, say everything's going great, and there's in terms of a master plan, the next lifetime might be a really difficult lifetime dealing with karma from lifetimes that you're not dealing with in that specific great life. But what's strange is that everybody has a chance to get off the planet. So, I mean, in that lifetime, how can the person jump ahead through that karma in order to transcend in that one lifetime? Because everyone has a chance to get off the planet in any specific lifetime.
Well, that's, if you, you know, just like in school, if you do everything,
right,
and then the teacher says, would you like extra credit?
Or skipping a grade.
Extra credit. Life can be extra credit. If you've done everything you could possibly do, and you're thinking, what more can I do? That's the part of which you look back into past lives that have been tucked away that you can now deal with because you're mature, you've worked through certain things. Think of in your life how the stronger you get, the more you can handle things. And the more you can handle things, the less you have problems. You're able to get through something in a week that might have taken you 3 years. And then pretty soon you're so self-sufficient that you don't really, you're a total unit within yourself,
right,
and you've gotten through everything.
So in terms of someone who may have successive lifetimes to get through karma, that's essentially going to be a requirement unless there's something really monumental that occurs in that lifetime. We're talking about really, really massive sacrifice in order to assume the karma from the lifetimes that would have succeeded the one where everything is going really well.
Sacrifice is a predominant term with action and with reservation towards not destroying your life. I mean, you're trying to get through life without destroying your life. So those of us who make total sacrifices, if we give our life to somebody else, we sacrifice our life for the sake of safety for others. That can be very heroic, and there can be a lot of good things about that. So sacrifices, it's an ancient tradition, and that was mainly to appease the gods.
Right.
Because so we would sacrifice, we would actually commit murders to satisfy the gods' lust for recognition or justice or whatever you want to call it. That's not what we mean by sacrifice.
No, on a softer level, like, you know, abandoning things that may be, you know, enhancing the ego in order to help others or devote one's life to God in whatever way. That's more
along
the
lines. One of the famous quotations is, what is it to gain the whole world and to lose your soul? You know, when if we become so involved in the world that we forget the journey of the soul, and all we think about is the body constantly, the body and what's going on in front of us and what we want down here and quest for that, and we forget about the dialogue we have with our soul, that's the one thing about the chapter of life that I think is most important, is that we learn how to recognize our soul. We let our soul talk to us. Where has it been? What experiences has our soul had outside of our immediate surroundings in this lifetime? What happened on the astral plane? Have there been conversations with angels and guides? Did you ever murder anybody in a past life? Did you ever save anybody in a past life? What have you left undone that you came back to finish? All of these things are part of the dialogue we have with our soul.
Right, and they're counterbalanced by one another. Killing someone versus saving someone. A soul may have done that, both acts in separate lifetimes or in the same lifetime.
There's a lot of convoluted, I mean, life is filled with convolution and contradiction and ambiguity and the meaning for life and what is the meaning of life. Well, the meaning of life is life. Life doesn't have to be defined. The very fact that we exist is a meaning. And that's a chapter within itself, because if you experience every moment of life that you are a living creature, living, breathing, experiencing, that's a miracle. That you can see, that you can operate your body, that, and then to a higher level of thinking, that you can be creative, that you can create. You can create other human beings. You can create works of art. You can do all kinds of things. Life is, you know, and then the quest that in terms of creation, we have this idea of satisfying our desires, our needs, looking for people. Who on the planet are we going to connect with? Are we going to find happiness? Are we going to move to that house we want? Find that person we're in love with? All of these things are part of the quest of the body, but / also the soul, because there's a soul content in our journey. And in each chapter that we have to really sit back and say, how did we start on the planet in this lifetime to indicate how we left the last planet, the last lifetime? Because you got to look at your family, you got to look at your circumstances, you got to look at what your father does, your mother does, how many kids are in the family, where you live, what was your schooling like, were you popular, not popular? These are all, this chapter didn't start here. It did not start here. It started way before, just like when you pop out of the womb, and that life didn't start then. It started way before, at least 9 months. There's some indication that life is processing itself and moving forward so that the independent baby can come out and scream and breathe. From a liquid world to a world of air and oxygen. So
unless you take a lot of baths. Unless you take a lot of baths, it's liquid. No. I'm kidding.
You're basically taking a big bath in the womb too.
No, that's what I was saying. You take a lot of baths in the air world.
Swim
in a pool or the ocean.
Well, that brings up some of the other chapters of life, obsessive compulsive. And all kinds of things that we go through in our mind to cope, as much as we are also on a higher level of thinking where we don't have time to be obsessive compulsive. We're in the quest for knowledge.
Right. So someone who's very self-aware is going to be doing self-evaluation checks all the time regarding what circumstances are going on in their immediate life that are enhancing their journey towards transcendence rather than hindering it.
Right. That's the healthy attitude. The unhealthy attitude would be neuroses, where you spend your life being totally neurotic and not looking at the bigger picture. So some people are so totally neurotic that the hours they spend on the earth being neurotic has consumed their identity.
However antiquated neurotic, and the term neuroses is. And anyway,
I don't think they
use it in psychology anymore. But anyway, neurotic.
Well,
like a term for.
It's you. I mean, it still applies. You know, we can keep redefining terminology as we advance forward in life.
It's making me really worried. To talk.
Yeah, well, there's a, you know, we have our, so we have our certain separate chapters, and we have our certain separate chakras. The chakra of the house, the chakra of relationship, the chakra of
creativity,
vision, spirit. Every
balance.
One of those chakras has its own history, has its own chapters. So imagine that we're like walking novels. We're almost like a series of novels, each with its own appropriate chapters. And that energy, putting that all together, is a very complicated process, because we are human beings, not just simple mammals or reptiles. Our lives are very intricate. They're not just based on the need to survive. We advanced forward. It's interesting when you look at a chimpanzee and orangutan, and they look at humans and they start to figure out what a human's doing, that those primates are basically the closest to us, aside from the intelligence of a pig or a dog or something. But they want to learn. They want to mimic. I once watched a special on an orangutan that was on the other side of the banks of a river, watching some women doing some washing, clothes washing by hand. And the orangutan wanted to get over there so bad, he actually got into a canoe, and with one of those long sticks, maneuvered it to get to the other side of the river, got out of the canoe, sat down with the women washing their clothes with soap suds and things, and mimicked it, did it.
Oh.
It probably didn't know why. It wanted to be in that tribal chapter. Its brain was yearning for the next chapter of its intelligence. Us coming down here, we're healthy human beings, we're striving to figure out the next level of our intelligence, the next level of the journey of our soul. Where are we going after this? Are we ready? Are we ready to, are we prepared? You know, it's like taking a trip. But the trip that we take when we leave the body is going to be a whole mind-blowing thing, if you want to call it mind, that will ultimately take us to the next stage of life. Just like we go through stages on the earth, we go through stages of the soul.
Right.
And then those soul, and that soul journey is going to be contingent on what we did in the body soul of the life we're in.
And as many of our callers well know, the challenge of being in life is, you know, not only survival oftentimes, but it's balancing even the pleasures of the world with what, you know, the spirituality of the soul. And, you know,
right.
It can be challenging. It can be challenging when you start to become too involved with the earth.
You know, it's weird. Being psychic, and maybe I'm delusional, I don't know, but I think I've heard people on the other side speak to me and talk to me.
Yeah. I think you've proven that many times over.
What I've learned is that when they cross over, they don't sit there in a cloud, you know, with a harp. They're not sitting in a chair fishing. They're not playing checkers. They're discussing in full detail what they did on the planet, what they got accomplished, and what they need to do in that spirit that they're in. That's what I've been hearing. So what I did over the years of my life is I thought, boy, I better do as much as I can to make sure it gets done before I leave here, because I don't want to have to come back and do something I should have done. That's going to be a waste of time. And what, to be born again? I'm going to go through grammar school? Are you kidding? I'm going to go through that again, learn everything all over again? oh my God, no way do I want to go through it again. Maybe some people do, but not this guy.
Well, yeah, and I think that the consciousness, you know, certain people, I know that in readings, people said, well, you know, maybe I'll do that in the next lifetime. A lot of people want to come back. I mean, they're just not at that place. Their soul's not in the place where they are in a transcendent mode of thought. Then others will say, I never want to do this again.
Never
I don't
want to
do this again. What do I need to do? But they still struggle with balancing earth life with spiritual life. I mean, for sure.
Right. The cream of the crop of the human experience is that people do want to come back to advance knowledge to the earth, to do something for the planet.
Well, in terms of like the element of sacrifice or, you know, contribution that we were talking about earlier.
Is it possible? Have I heard souls in the astral plane say, I want to come back. I want to do in medicine. I want to do something in science. I want to do something for politics. I want to do something for the animal kingdom. I've heard people get ready to launch back into the earth on volunteer level.
On completing a mission basis.
Yeah.
Not just saying, because I know we've heard other people say, oh, I love the earth. I like people. I would just want to come back. So that's a different level of return.
That's a different level. The enjoyment of the earth and just going through it again. Yeah, you can have a repeat performance, I imagine. Sometimes what I've heard guides do with souls is say, no, you got to do this, you got to do that, your directed there. So I've heard confusions. I've heard arguments in the astral realm at times, at least in my third year I have. And the idea, though, that I've heard souls say, I want to go back. I do want to go back. And they do it with such conviction that they actually start writing the chapter. See, they've gotten through all their karma for the most part. They've lived a life of transcendence. Now they're in the astral realm, and they decide to come back to the planet, and the guides say, well, what do you want to do? Well, here's what I want to do. I'm going to put an outline out. I'm going to find the cure for cancer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And they start to write it out, and because they're such privileged souls, the guides go, okay, then you go back, and out of that sacrifice, like saving the planet, saving the world, dying on the cross, crossing the Red Sea, you're going to do it. You're anointed. You're appointed now. And so these souls come back, and sometimes at an early age, they've already gifted their awareness to the
planet.
World.
Yeah.
And they're already doing things. Others have a little bit of a struggle, and then they come to some height of comprehension in terms of their mission. Sometimes it's a little bit of intermingling with karma.
Well,
obviously.
That's what I was going to say. There's some people that are on a mission that are anointed, but that are also resolving personal karma. And that mission is that karma is contingent on the mission they were sent out to the planet to do.
Yeah.
So that's another case.
That's another case. And then people like us, mystics, psychics, healers, we're nursemaids. We're really nursemaids. We're not the cream of the crop by any means. We don't, most of health healers and psychics and intuitives, they're here to nurse human beings. A lot of us don't
not
make
literally.
Great discoveries. No, a lot of us don't make great discoveries. We're here to help. We're here to assist. Because what we've done in coming back to the planet is we've taken the consciousness of our astral bodies with us and the gifts that we have from those chapters that we've developed. So in essence, we come back, maybe not by self-sacrifice, but we've come back with gifts intact
in order
to we assist the human
others.
Planet using the intermingling of astral energy and physical energy. And that is too a chapter, because its most immediate environment would be the sixth chakra, the third eye, where most of us inhabit that chakra constantly. I know it's, for me, it's 24/7. This, but about the,
for me,
the,
it's 23/6.
23/6. So We got to look at, you know, what are you doing on that extra day? Never on Sunday. That was a great movie. But the attitude that we have is reflective of the chapters that we have lived through. Think about it. Think about who you are and what composes you in terms of the chapters you are, and whether it's you love to ride motorcycles or you love to invent cars. It doesn't matter in the long run. What matters is the intricate design of your life, composed of chapters that you have lived through that have brought you back to the planet, karma aside, transcendence aside, but the very essence that you're existing again and here to do something, hopefully, to the well humankind. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're getting our 90-second warning, so I guess we're going to wrap up for now, Neil, but we are back on the air on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, callers and listeners. Bye-bye.